Every year, 20% of pregnant American women, about 800,000, are prescribed some form of bed rest. That includes everything from limiting activity to staying in bed for months at a time with breaks only to use the bathroom. In extreme cases, women are advised to use bedpans. Conventional wisdom has long held that bed rest averts complications in high-risk pregnancies. But not everyone agrees. A growing body of evidence says bed rest not only doesn't lessen those risks, but it can be downright dangerous. Author Alexandra Kleeman examines the issue in her article, The Bed Rest Hoax, in the most recent issue of Harper's Magazine. Welcome, Alexandra.
Thanks for having me.
So you go not only into the history of bed rest, citing the most recent studies, but you also decided to try 5 days of bed rest yourself. You were not pregnant, we should say, but you wanted to find out for yourself what kind of physiological and psychological changes occur. Tell us what happened.
The first couple days that I was on bed rest, I was uncomfortable, but I felt roughly like myself. I had back pain, soreness of the muscles, and a lot of difficulty actually thinking clearly. What really surprised me was after 3 days on bed rest, I felt so different when I stood up. I had dizziness, I had faintness, and I had this tiredness in my legs and muscles and mind that just didn't seem to go away.
All right. Well, you also reviewed the medical research. What are the changes to a woman's bones, blood, heart that occur during bed rest?
Well, there are a lot of changes, and you'd be surprised at how quickly they start happening. Within the first 48 hours, you have reduced heart output, the beginning of atrophy in muscles. You have so many muscles that help you just stand upright, and you aren't using those when you're lying down. Over long periods of time, you have bone loss. You have increased risk of blood clots. You find that the total blood volume lessens, veins narrow and become less flexible, so less able to adapt to different postures and to different kinds of movement. It's an overall lessening in our adaptation for exercise and movement and a lot of the things that are involved in everyday life.
Well, in your article, you outline the history of bed rest. It came into fashion in the mid-1800s with a book called Rest and Pain, which tried to convince men and women who were working long hours during the Industrial Revolution that rest was necessary for healing, and that concept really took off.
It really took off. Suddenly, rest was a thing that you could prescribe to any illness to treat it, to alleviate it, and to help it pass faster. But because people thought that rest was this absolute good, you have people on bed rest for as long as possible. It's sort of a fixture in Victorian novels, the invalid, right?
That's right. Well, the fixture in Victorian novels, the invalid, but often the invalid woman. And there was this punitive aspect to it, particularly for females. They were thought to be nervous, weak, self-centered. So bed rest, you tell us, was actually considered a way to remedy that. How so?
Well, one of the most interesting figures I came across in my research was Silas Weir Mitchell, and he referred to women with nervous disorders as vampires. Actually, they suck the energy of all of those people around them who are trying to treat them or take care of them. So his treatment, which became known as the rest cure, involved being confined to bed for 4 to 6 weeks. No use of your hands, no reading, no visits from friends or family, no stimulation. And then this really strange diet, which started with an all-milk diet and moved to this very rich diet of pork chops, creams, all with the aim of adding blood and fat to the woman's body.
I mean, it sounds almost like solitary confinement plus a fatty diet. Was there some actual medical basis at the time in which they thought this was going to be good for pregnancy?
No, I think a lot of this was going on intuition. And historically, the view of women has always been that they are very intricately tied into their bodies, that their minds are affected by their bodily processes, that their bodily processes are affected by their mind. And part of the worry was that women's bodies would be affected by the processes of their womb, which was a changeable, sort of transforming entity within a woman. And by adding to the blood and fat and the stable meaty part of a woman, you might be able to lessen its volatility.
Okay. Well, after World War II, bed rest went out of style for men who had before been recuperating from diseases like tuberculosis or healing after surgery with bed rest, but it remained the standard for many pregnant women.
Yes, and my research originally began from this historical basis, but I was so surprised to find that it actually thrives today as a therapy for women with high-risk pregnancies.
Well, let's fast forward to today. You tick through in your article the most recent medical studies that show bed rest is at best not useful and at worst very harmful. Tell us what the medical researchers have found.
What the medical researchers have found is essentially nothing, no support for bed rest in the use of preterm labor, multiple gestation, shortened cervix, or gestational hypertension, high blood pressure. There's some slight evidence that it may be of use for hypertension, but the authors make sure to note that you get the same slight beneficial effect if you rest 4 to 6 hours a day. So you could be resting more, but not rest confined to your bed.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you also spoke to practicing obstetricians. Did you discover, are most doctors even aware of this new evidence?
Well, most of the doctors I spoke to had a background in research, and they were aware of the new evidence, but there's a division in the field. Doctors who've experienced research or are very in touch with the research that comes out in journals are more likely to avoid the prescription of bed rest. And they told me that, yes, they get women who come in and request bed rest because they've heard about it, and they have to tell them, like, no, we don't think this is going to help you. But they also told me that out in the community, it is very widely prescribed, up to 95% of obstetricians say that they've prescribed it in their own practices. Mm. So there's this sharp split in the community.
95%. Well, at one point, you visited internet message boards where women who have been put on bed rest commiserate with each other, but they never question the underlying wisdom of the treatment?
No, I mean, I feel that a lot of women don't feel they have authority to mobilize medical information themselves. The doctor is the medical expert, and they may have trouble with a prescription or struggle with a prescription or have confusion over what exactly bed rest means for them, what they're allowed to do, but they don't feel like they have authority to challenge it.
All right. Well, if a woman is prescribed bed rest during her pregnancy by her physician, what is your advice? What should she do?
Well, my advice is to ask questions. Ask exactly what you think the benefit is going to be. Ask what exactly you're allowed to do. Ask why you're doing it. And ask about the potential harms. I'd also encourage women to go online and look for material that's out there from, for example, national councils of obstetricians and gynecologists who don't recommend the treatment, and bring those into your doctor.
Well, there's a 2013 paper in the Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology called Therapeutic Bed Rest in Pregnancy, Unethical and Unsupported by the Data. Mm-hmm. I suppose that that's one of the articles you would be referring women to.
Yeah, that's a great article, a sort of review of the past research. And then there are also Cochrane reviews, which you can find online. These are very well-respected analyses of all of the medical evidence for or against an issue.
Well, one place that women can find these articles is, of course, by reading your article, The Bed Rest Hoax, in the most recent issue of Harper's Magazine. Alexandra Kleeman, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks so much for having me.